College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I remember it like it was yesterday. I was about 4 months pregnant with my first son, Andrew Brundage, and Sean said, "My back is hurting and I can't stop coughing. I don't feel well. I feel weak." And I was like, "Okay, we're going to the emergency room." So I took him to the hospital, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. He started throwing up and it started getting worse. His blood count was low, but he wasn't bleeding. Turns out he had a sickle cell crisis. Here I am, 4 months pregnant, in the dead of winter, during a snowstorm, with my new husband. We've got no family, very few friends. We've only lived in Minnesota for a very short period of time. And I remember the doctors coming to me, and they said, "We're going to call a chaplain." And I looked around and they start packing up Sean's stuff. And I was like, "Are we going home? Because he looks too sick to go home. I'm 4 months pregnant. I can't take care of him at home." And they said, "He's going to ICU. We don't know if he's going to make it through the night." And so they sent me a pastor who prayed with me. And I called my pastor, Reverend Gallman, from Fellowship. And he rushed over to pray. And Sean, we didn't know for a long time if he was going to make it. And the doctors at this particular hospital did not have a lot of information on sickle cell. But what happened is he was having a full-blown sickle cell crisis. Well, immediately our family got educated about sickle cell disease. I tested negative for it. He was positive, but every one of my children, all four of them, have the sickle cell trait. And I'm so glad that Children's Minnesota is on the front line of sickle cell education, not only for families, but for their doctors. Because in that moment, when Sean, we didn't know if he was going to make it through the night, the doctors didn't have any answers because they were not educated. And so this is Sickle Cell Awareness Month, the last day of the month. And so I wanted to invite Dr. Stephanie Fritsch-Lala on the Shaletta Show. She is with Children's Minnesota. She is the medical director of the sickle cell program there. And she is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Stephanie, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's powerful to hear your experience and your journey. We certainly here at Children's and across to improve the experience of people living with sickle cell.
I just, you know, when I look at the numbers, they are astonishing. One in every 500 Black or African American births, and about one out of, have a sickle cell or the disease or trait. Yep. This is coming straight from the CDC. Hispanic births, when they're testing these kids as they are born, these babies. The numbers are high. Most sickle cell patients are, from the Twin Cities area. The second largest area served is the St. Cloud metro area. So this is pervasive, and you are doing all you can to make sure that people know about it, because it can be disguised as a cough, as weakness, as, right, a pain in your body. You know, for those who are listening for the first time, and I just really want, especially my mixed race parents and grandparents who have never heard of sickle cell, who don't know anything about the disease, and you got beautiful little brown grandbabies and babies and nieces and nephews, I want you to make sure that you hear our conversation for the next couple of minutes, because I want you to take this information back to your families. And if your kiddos have not been tested, or if they have and you know that they have the trait, we're going to give you some information to make sure that they live healthier, longer, more productive lives. So talk to me, Dr. Stephanie, for folks who are hearing sickle cell for the first time. What is that?
Sickle cell disease affects your red blood cells and your hemoglobin. I think of those as our oxygen carrying cars. So they're the taxi cabs, the Ubers that go to your lungs, pick up that oxygen and deliver it throughout your body. For people living with sickle cell disease, they have a change in their hemoglobin, and that hemoglobin will cause the red cells to form banana shapes or C shapes. And what happens is when they try and travel through the blood vessels, they develop a traffic jam. Their cells clog up and they can't get through that blood vessel. And when we don't get our oxygen and our other nutrients through those blood vessels, then our tissues get sick. So whatever blood vessel that is, if it's in our lungs, if it's in our kidneys, if it's in our bone, is injured. And that can lead to severe pain. It can lead to a stroke. It can lead to kidney disease. It can lead to chronic lung disease. It can cause so many complications throughout our body.
And this is the scary part for me, is that currently a stem cell transplant is the only approved therapy to cure sickle cell. However, it's effective in only a small number of patients. There's some promising research, some gene therapy treatments, but I don't want anybody to listen to our conversation today and say, well, just have them take a pill or just have them take some medicine, because there are pills you can take to treat your blood pressure. You know, there's pills you can take to treat a thyroid condition, but there's not anything that's been approved by the FDA that can help you if you have sickle cell. And that's why it's so important, especially in these kids, that we understand what it is, what the underlying conditions are, and know how to tackle it right away.
Right. We have what we call disease modifying therapies, meaning that we can take certain medications that help hopefully prevent some of the complications from sickle cell, but they are, like you said, not curative. We've had only one medication for a few decades, and now more recently we've had a few others. But the biggest concern, like you said, is even if you're doing your optimal, you know, you're staying healthy, you're eating the right foods, you're drinking lots of water, you're taking the hydroxyurea to help, these complications can still come up. So there's no perfect way to control the complications from sickle cell. And it's really, really important that we continue to move forward the options for treatment. So bone marrow transplant historically has been the only curative therapy, but many, many people living with do not have a match that can give them be their bone marrow donor, to give them those healthy cells, because you have to be a close enough match or it can actually make you more sick. But we are really excited that hopefully this fall or this winter on into early next year that we will hear that gene therapy is approved as a hopefully curative option for those living with sickle cell.
And talk to me about some of the services that Children's Minnesota provides, because, you know, you have several hundred patients, young people, that you are working with and trying to help, and not just help them, but help their families over there. You are the medical director of the sickle cell program. And what does that mean? Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So it's an immense honor, I think, just to start with, to have the opportunity to work with individuals living with sickle cell disease. It's a chronic illness. It's something that they face day in and day out. You know, there are good days where they don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. But again, it pops up unexpectedly. And we here at Children's, we take care of 340 children with sickle cell disease. We have a comprehensive program. So we have everyone from the hematologist to the pulmonary doctor to our social workers, our physical therapists. We have nurse practitioners and nurses, genetic counselors. So everyone that you really need to help support you or your child living with sickle cell disease. And we meet once a week in a comprehensive fashion, meaning all of those providers come together to see individuals living with sickle cell so that they can meet everyone at one time. It is a long visit. It's really impactful in ensuring that we're providing the best care. And then we also have urgent care and inpatient support if other issues come up.
Okay, now you do all this work, and Children's Minnesota is a nonprofit health system, and you are relying on us, because a lot of these families are from underserved communities. They are living at or below poverty level. And it's going to take all of us, the generosity of good neighbors that listen to this station, to fund not only the support services that you all provide for families, but also the research. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, Dr. Stephanie. But when we come back, the one thing about the people who listen to this show is they are ready to help. They're ready to jump in and make a difference. They know I'm not going to have a 3-hour show without asking them to do something to make it better for somebody else in our community. I like being the change that I want to see happen. And so when we come back, Dr. Stephanie, I want to talk to you about what we can do to help you as you help these young people in our community living with sickle cell. More with Dr. Stephanie when we come back. I hope the thrill is not gone for Coach Prime. I'm telling you, I'm a Coach Prime super fan. I'm rooting for the Colorado Buffaloes, but right now they're down 34-14 to USC. It's in the third quarter. Looks like 10 minutes left, first and 10. And these teams, I tell you, they are studying. They are playing hard. They do not want to get beat by the Buffaloes. And Coach Prime is giving it, you know, the old Girl Scout try. We'll see how that works out, but I am absolutely biased. I really am. I really want to see Coach Prime. I wish that he could have just been undefeated this year with the way he has just turned that program around. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I'm keeping tabs. Now, what's the score, Josh, on the Gophers game? We got to figure that one out.
That I don't know.
Okay, we're going to figure that one out. Hold on. Hold on, because I don't want to be given the USC Colorado score without letting y'all know.
28-17 over Louisiana Lafayette.
Yes, yes. Okay, that's good news. So if the Buffalo Colorado Buffaloes don't win, then at least I'm also rooting for my Gophers. So we're going to hope that they pull out a win here. Now we are continuing our conversation. It is Sickle Cell Awareness Month. We've been talking to Dr. Stephanie Fritch Lala from Children's Minnesota. She's a medical director of the sickle cell program there. And I tell you what, there are some children who are still alive right now because of the work that they are doing there. I witnessed firsthand when Sean, who has sickle cell, went down and nobody at the hospital knew why or what was going on and how scary it was and how they were packing up his stuff and asked me if I wanted to talk to a chaplain because they didn't think that he was going to make it through the night. And when the work that they're doing over at Children's Minnesota with the sickle cell program, children are making it through the night, the day after that. You have really got to be so proud, Dr. Stephanie, with the program that you've put together, the resources and the services and the health care that are in place for these kids and their families.
Absolutely. It's an amazing group to be a part of. It's amazing to watch these kids thrive, to care for them from, you know, just 2 weeks of age up until they're young adults and see how much progress they make. And it's been an amazing blessing.
And it's not just about providing health care. Talk to me about some of the other services that the sickle cell program at Children's Minnesota provides.
Yeah, so we have kind of wraparound services from, we have social workers, especially when you live with a chronic illness, you may need to miss school because you're in the hospital. So the social workers help communicate with the schools. We have a program, our Children's Cancer Fund, that also includes caring for kids with blood disorders that help support the families. As you all know, it's hard to get everything covered financially. And when you end up in the hospital, there's more costs that go into it. And so our program here at Children's helps support families sometimes to help maybe cover a rent or utility bill. We also have a camp for children who during the summer that they get to go for a week and join with a sibling and connect with other kids living with chronic illnesses. We have music therapy and we have child life and physical therapy, and all of those are funded in part by the generosity of those in the community. And so today is our last day of Sickle Cell Awareness and our Shine Bright campaign. We would love the support of the community. If you're interested, go to childrensmn.org to donate. Other ways you can support other than through the Shine Bright campaign is getting out and donating blood. There's, since COVID, we've really struggled to have sufficient blood available for transfusions. Our patients with sickle cell frequently need transfusions. Considering being a bone marrow donor, it's a simple cheek swab. If you go to bethematch.com, they will have it as an opportunity to do that as well. So, we would love and the support of the community.
And, you know, I love that you have given us options, because I've gotten a couple of DMs while you were talking that said, you know what, Shaletta, we're really cash strapped. I would like to go and donate to Shine Bright for Kids, the fundraiser that's going on. And today is the last day, because this is the last day of Sickle Cell Awareness Month, that benefits the kids over at Children's Minnesota who are in the sickle cell program. But, you know, I don't really have any money right now. I've got a couple of emails already from folks who are logging on to make a donation. So thank you guys. But you've given us some other opportunities to do something. You might not have any money, but everybody got some blood. Hello.
Right.
So if you don't have the funds right now to make a donation, you can definitely give blood. You can be a bone marrow donor. And especially, you know, in the African American community, we need more. Our blood types are so unique and so different. And, you know, if you are, you know, a person who is mixed race, or you are married and you are listening and your wife is African American or your husband is African American, get home and get them over so that they can get registered to be a donor, because that could save some child's life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just like you said, we need more donors from the African American community so that we have better matches for blood. And we see, unfortunately, complications from blood that isn't close enough, that our bodies detect those minor changes. And it does, it creates a lot of complications. So yes, please get out and donate.
And donate if you have it in your heart, if you've heard these stories. You know, I think about Nazir Evans. I wrote a story about him for the Spokesman Recorder newspaper, you know, with it being Sickle Cell Awareness Month. And he doesn't need anybody to make him aware, because he is living with that disease.
Absolutely.
But, you know, he inherited the blood disorder. A lot of times that is the case. But he's come to Children's and he's gotten the services. He's gotten the care from your program. And so now he is living and thriving as a busy young man. He's 20 years old, lives in Burnsville, works at the UPS store. Those are the stories that your dollars and your blood and your bone marrow donations help, right?
Yes. And these kids have to come and rise above over and over again. And Naz is an amazing example of that. He has pain crisis. He ends up getting hospitalized, but he's always working towards getting back to the things he loves to do and setting his goals. And it's been amazing to watch him. And we're really excited for his future.
And I'm excited to be a part. I'm going to make a $100 donation as soon as I get off the air to the foundation, to the Shine Bright for Kids. That fundraiser is going on now. Go to childrensmn.org to donate. Today is the last day. And people are going to be like, well, why is it the last day? Because it's the last day of Sickle Cell Awareness Month. But I did not want to let this month go by, Dr. Stephanie, without bringing you on as a guest to this show and thanking you for the work that you do to help these kids live better lives and to also create awareness. You know, your day job is over. You don't have to come on this show. You are off today, but you are creating awareness and understanding of what this condition is and how people can help. And I'm so grateful for that.
Mentioned to sickle cell and having us here, we can support things somewhat here on the medical side, but dealing with chronic illness, people really need the entire community to wrap around them, and I appreciate you contributing to that. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for being here, and again, for information and ways that you can donate to Shine Bright for Kids, the fundraiser that is going on. Go to childrensmn.org. If you've heard something today on this show from Dr. Stephanie, and it sounds like something that resonates with you and your child, if you've seen some of these symptoms, if you've heard anything that you think, you know what, I couldn't figure it out. You know, I'm not from the African-American community, but I have an African-American child. And this sounds like what my baby's been dealing with. You can go to childrensmn.org and get that information as well. And it's all there on the website. Dr. Stephanie, thank you again so much for being on the show and for the work that you do in this community.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. And you all don't go anywhere. When we come back, there is an event to support businesses in our community. And I want to tell you all about it next. I am eating a salad right now. I will have yogurt for dinner. I will drink lots of fluids. And I will not be eating any cinnamon rolls, cookies, cakes, any of that stuff. Why? Because I want to fit into my dress that I bought to wear next Sunday to the Black Business Ball. It's an annual event. It's been going on 4 years. Nancy Corsa is the brain behind the Black Business Ball. She is joining us now courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Nancy, thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show.
Thank you so much, Shaletta. Thank you for having me.
Everybody is talking about the Black Business Ball. Every entrepreneur, you know, all the allies, everybody's like, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? And I got a dress. And when I bought the dress, Nancy, I was really doing good. Okay. I was eating my salads. I was taking my walks. And then I don't know what happened. I know what happened. It was the state fair. So I got out there and I got one of them donuts. And then I had a turkey leg. And then I had, you know, some stuff on the stick. And then I went for broke. And then they had the Dino's was across the street from the CCO booth. They had the Grey Duck vodka slushies. I lost the girl. And so I tried to put the dress on that I'm going to wear next Sunday to the ball. And girl, I'm going to just tell you, the dress was like, not going to happen.
It was looking back at you like, what have you done, man?
Girl, okay. Girl, the kids was like, Mama, I can't get this zipper up. Girl, look, I'm mad at the kids. Like, I didn't eat the donuts. I was like, you're not trying hard enough. Okay, I'm going to need you to put some elbow grease into it. The kids was like, Mama, it's not moving.
Man, but you know what, Shaletta? So I guess I can't call you up to do the belly dance. Because as you know, it's themed as a night in Marrakesh. It's located in Morocco. It's going to be an incredible night to celebrate Black-owned businesses. And we just can't wait to see you there.
I cannot wait to be there. And where else are you going to go to a ball that has a belly dancer? Talk to me about the theme for the Black Business Ball, because you got really creative this year.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we've had Coming to America. We've had 1920s. I really wanted to find something that would bring us a little bit of culture. You know, Marrakesh is in North Africa and we belong everywhere, as you know. So I wanted to bring a little bit of culture, some different foods, different atmosphere to our city because we deserve it. And, you know, I don't know if people understand this, but Minneapolis is on the map. And we want to continue to bring incredible, incredible events and bring people together to network and really elevate each other. So for you to be our host, it's just tying everything with a beautiful bow. And I tell you, Shaletta, we couldn't do this without our incredible sponsors at MediaBridge, Stearns Bank, Gillette, U.S. Bank, Comcast, PNC Bank, Chase, EOS, Leap, and Olu. So I'm so grateful for your time. And we really can't wait to see all of you in your best attire Sunday.
Okay. Now, you got to tell everybody where it is and what time is going down and give them the website, because I don't want anybody who's hearing about this to miss out on it. It's not just a good event, but it's a way to show support. You know, people are always coming to me and saying, Shaletta, I want to hire more Black businesses, but I just don't know where they are. I want to, you know, get more Black contractors, but, you know, I don't know where to start. You start by going to the Black Business Ball. You know, you start
Absolutely.
By being in places where Black business owners are. You can't sit on your sofa and decide, I just can't find any Black businesses to work with. I can't find any Black entrepreneurs to give them an opportunity. You're not going to do that sitting at the house. You're not going to do that in your own community. You're going to do that by getting dressed up and coming to the Black Business Ball next Sunday. So let everybody know what time, where it is, and give us the website.
Absolutely, Shaletta. So it's on Sunday, October 8th, happening at the Quincy Hall. The red carpet starts at 5 p.m. and the show starts at 6. And you can find tickets on blackbusinessball.com. And we also have a link that will take you to our directory where you can find Black-owned businesses all across the country. But you know what, Shaletta? I just thought about the first way to help us all is to reach out to Shaletta and continue to support Shaletta, because the way you amplify us is it's absolutely incredible.
Well, you know what I want to do? I want to train people how to treat us.
Yes.
I want to train people to understand and know that, you know, when you are doing business with a Black business owner, we're going to work harder for you. We are going to give you 110% of our brain matter. We are going to over deliver. And I tell this to people all the times when I'm in meetings, when I'm trying to tell them, look, hire me, ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. Let me do your marketing and social media promotions for you. Let me host your event. And what I tell them is we are going to over deliver because it's a Black woman in business. I know that if I don't overperform, you're never going to work with me again. You know, I was working with Teach for America and they were trying to, you know, promote their annual event. And I said, well, how many people do you need in the room? And they said, we always had the same 400 people. If we could get eight, that's good. I gave them 1,200 people.
Wow.
I was like, because if I give you eight, you're going to say I did what you asked me to do. But I have to overperform so that you come back to me and work with me. And then you tell you, I have to blow your mind. And that is not just me. That is every Black business owner that I know, whether it is Vanessa Drews with Cheesecake Funk or Sylvia Williams with Soul Grain or Divina Pittman with Nature Syrup. Every Black business owner that I know out here working and trying to make it possible for them to leave a legacy and have an opportunity to hire people and expand, they're working harder than they ever did when they were working for somebody else. And so I appreciate you giving out awards, because you're going to be giving out awards at this thing. We're not just going to be eating and belly dancing and having a good time. You are also going to be spotlighting Black-owned businesses. Now, talk to me about some of these categories.
Yes, absolutely. So we wanted to make sure that we created a buzz around Black-owned businesses, because a lot of people are out here doing work and no one sees them. And we want to really create our own celebrities, our own big brands. You know, it's not just the big names that exist. Black-owned businesses are here killing it. So we created some categories to highlight the youth, like our Next Generation Award, which is anyone under 18 years old. Now, remember, you have to be registered with the Secretary of State in order to enter. So people from the community nominated businesses. We have Woman of the Year Award, Entrepreneur of the Year. We have a couple of awards just to highlight people. We have Tasty Choice, which is all about food. And this is not really a competition. This is simply to show people that they need to be able to support. They need to be able to vote, so that we can continue to bring to the forefront the incredible work that Black-owned businesses are doing in this city. We are out here in force, and we have to continue to say our names and really, really talk more about each other. And like you said, and you always encourage me, we have to support each other. And it can't just be a word. It can't just be a sentence. It has to be an action. There has to be thought behind it. So that's what these awards are for. It's really so that others can clap for each other, and everybody has their season. So we are so excited to give that opportunity to people to come out and celebrate others.
And that is going to be next Sunday at Quincy Hall. Red carpet starts at 5. This is about empowering the community. You know, this is about success. This is about awareness and support and celebrating diversity. And, you know, let's just be honest. A majority of the listeners of this show are not Black. Give me, Nancy, why we need our allies to step up and step into the room at the Black Business Ball.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I invite my allies sometimes, or non-allies that we're trying to bring over, sometimes they feel like, well, maybe I don't belong there. That's exactly where you belong. This is your opportunity and chance to share space with the incredible people in the city that are working day in and day out to better themselves and elevate their community. This is your time to come and clap for them. If you can't come, you're free to donate a ticket to a Black-owned business, and also donate an item or sponsor a business. Our Black Business Enterprises, we help people file for their LLC, their EIN, get them a website, business cards, logo, branding. So if you can't come, show support by sponsoring one. And if you can come, wear your best tux. When we can't wait to see you.
Oh, my God. And I, girl, I got so excited. I sent a note to Jean Grant. She's with eWomen Network. It's a group that I just joined, and they support women in business. And you know, one of her, she's the new director, and one of her main concerns is that we're too white. We need some more diversity. You know, and she said, Shaletta, where can I go? How can I find more women-owned businesses? I said, girl, if you did that, I said, the thing about Black women in business is, you know, we need networks that support us, and we don't have that. And if you just start showing up at our events and exchanging business cards and showing us that you care, we will show up and show out for you. So I told Jen, don't plan nothing next Sunday, because we're going to be over at the Quincy Hall. We're going to be hanging out, eating the food, celebrating, belly dancing, and having a good time with Nancy Corsa. I just thank you so much, Nancy. Now, before you go, you got to get everybody to the website again so they'll know where to go.
Absolutely. Everyone, go to the blackbusinessballs.com. You can get yourself a ticket, or you can donate a ticket. You can also just support Black-owned businesses by looking at our directory and finding a vendor for your company. And thank you again, Shaletta, for having us. And continue to elevate all of us. You're incredible.
Oh, girl, I love you. And I love y'all, too. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Shaletta Show. I'm so sick of the haters. I'm so sick of the haters against this Colorado Buffaloes team. Keyshawn Johnson said it, and I thought it. I'm glad somebody said it. I'm going to talk to Steve Thompson about it. I wish I could call him now, but he's prepping for his own show that comes on after this show. But I believe that these college coaches that are going up against Coach Prime and his Colorado Buffalo team are exchanging information. Behind the scenes, they are calling each other. They are giving each other playbooks because they don't want to see this Colorado team winning. And it's so sad because Coach Prime and this team have brought an electricity to college football. They've got folks buying the jerseys and watching the games. And when they have all eyes on them, it's on the other teams too. But they just don't want to see this man shining. They don't want to see him winning. And I'm telling you, I said, you know, behind the scenes, I bet they are all getting together. I bet they are all sharing information. I bet they are all strategizing, these coaches, trying to come up with a way where they can beat this team. And Keyshawn Johnson said, I didn't want to say it out loud. I thought it, but I didn't say it. But when I saw Keyshawn Johnson on TV saying this out of his mouth, I said, and he knows people. He knows stuff. So I'm going to talk to Steve Thompson about that later on in the show and see if he's hearing anything and if he thinks that there's any validity to what Keyshawn Johnson said. I really do believe that. I really do. I really think that behind the scenes, they want to see this team fail, and they are working together, other college coaches, some pro folks, whoever they can find, to get some extra help. That's how you know you're good. That's how you know you're bad. When somebody got to go out and get extra help. Now, if you're wondering, the score is USC 48, the Buffaloes 27. But right here, our guys, the Gophers, are doing well. 35-24 over Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. And y'all know that's my peoples now. My father grew up in a small town, was born there, called Lake Charles, Louisiana, which is about 30 minutes away from Louisiana, at the Lafayette campus, where this team is from. And so, you know, my heart is pulled in two different directions, but I'm going for my Gophers, and I'll be happy to see them pull this game off. 1 minute and 40 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. So it looks like they're gonna go ahead and call this one a win. That's what I'm thinking. But, you know, you never know. You never know. I've seen the Vikings do some stuff that sent my blood pressure through the roof. So I'm just going to say, I hope for a win, Josh. That's what I'm going to say, because I was sitting on my couch one day in the middle of typing up a text message that said, oh, well, Vikings, better luck next time. And I went to the restroom and I came back, and they had somehow won the game.
Was this the Minneapolis miracle?
Yes, it was.
Lucky guess.
Yes, it was. So I won't count my chickens before they hatch. I'll say it looks like a win, but with 52 seconds, you just never know what's going to happen on a football field, college or otherwise. Now, listen, y'all don't go anywhere because we got so much more fun to have on the Shaletta Show. In addition to talking to Steve Thompson about this conspiracy that Keyshawn Johnson and I have, that they are conspiring to keep Coach Prime and those Colorado Buffaloes from winning. We are going to talk to Jennifer Dragnet. Now, a lot of my listeners are autism moms and dads, right? And every time I'm on the air or I have a show, I want to try to provide some relief, some information, some resources, some services that I know about. Probably 30% of the appointments I take every week are with families right here in Minnesota who are desperate and who want to know, where can I find some help? Where can I find a day treatment program? Where can I find a group home? I just sent a friend of mine over to Hammer and NER for his son. Another grandparent called, and she is charged with raising her adult autistic grandson, and it's just gotten to be too much for her. So I sent her over to Hammer and NER as well so that she could check out the resources and services there. And, you know, I always want to make sure that nobody has to learn the lessons the hard way like I had to learn them. You know, I don't want anybody in a treatment program or a therapy center that's not going to benefit their child. If there are resources and services out there, if there's funding, I want to make sure that if you are a parent or a caregiver and you have a kiddo in your life with autism, that you know where to go immediately to get that. And so we're going to be talking about a conference in Mankato that I'm driving all the way to. And I want you to see me there. It's coming up later in October. I'll tell you all about it next.